Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Kaya Talk.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
So you remember on Monday we had a conversation with Treasury in Gauteng. We wanted to get clarity on some of the numbers after there was obviously a Gauteng Provincial Treasury briefing, just giving us the numbers of 2024-2025 financial year. And I did admit to you that I'm not sure about some of the explanations. I need to go back myself and try and understand them further. Well, Gauteng has decided themselves that they want to reach out, particularly the Department of Health. They wanted to reach out and clarify some of those numbers. And so they're here on the line with us this evening to help us better understand and just so that you and I, especially those who use the services, can have a full appreciation of what these numbers mean. This is obviously also a good opportunity for you to call in if you want some clarity. 086-000-959. That's a number to dial. You can also call in on 063-6880-959 or send a voice note as well. So we do have on the line Gauteng Health Acting Chief Financial Officer. We have Montwedi Butsani, who is on the line with us this evening. Mr. Butsani, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to the listeners, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
You felt it was necessary for you to clarify the numbers that everybody's been speaking of. So, give us an overview of what the misunderstanding seems to be.
Okay. Actually, just to give context, Pamela, maybe let me start with the payment of the invoices in the quarter four of the 24-25 financial year, where we performed at 21%. So I must just indicate that and give this context that during the 24-25 financial year, we have been faced by significant cash flow constraints. This is mainly emanating from the cash or reduction that happened in the 2021 medium-term expenditure framework. So therefore, as a result, then as a department, we took a decision to prioritize some of these payments to the most critical, including the non-negotiable services, specifically those whose non-payment would have had a direct and immediate impact on service delivery. So this strategic approach, therefore, was necessary to ensure that the department maintained the continuity of some of the essential healthcare services across all our facilities, despite this constraint that I'm just talking to. But then consequently, the non-critical or the lower risk invoices were deferred, meaning they were not paid at that time. So this resulted in the only 1% of the total invoices being paid during quarter four. I must just also maybe indicate that this is measured based on the
30 days.
Excuse me?
We are speaking about the 30-day period in which you pay the invoices specifically.
That's correct, yes. So that probably to that 21%. So it does not necessarily mean that we didn't pay other invoices during that period. Just that those that related to the 30 days, that's where we achieved a less than ideal performance of the 21%. But then I must also maybe qualify to indicate the criteria that was used to prioritize some of these payments of these invoices. So as part of the critical nature of our services, this mainly included suppliers of the essential medicines, including some of the surgical items. This was also extended to suppliers that supply us with the medical consumables, medical supplies, including medical equipment as well as maintenance. Other key non-negotiable items related to the emergency medical services, including municipal and food services. But I must also, maybe as an extension, just also indicate to what could have happened to some of these invoices that were not paid. So these unpaid invoices, especially those that we deemed as non-critical, had to be deferred. But then we are working on some of the processes to ensure that we fully pay some of this in the 25-26 financial year. This is what is called some of the commitments that will have been made, but then will be rolled over into the new financial year to cover some of this commitment.
Okay. So let's work together and take it step by step. You're saying the cash flow issues date back to 2021, quarter one.
I'm talking about what is called the fiscal consideration that each of the government department had to make during the 2021 MTF cycle.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to make sure that it's the 2021 cycle. Is that what we're referring to?
That extended to the 2024-25. Yes.
So we're going back to 2021, and in that 2021 financial year, did you spend
MTF,
all your
medium-term expenditure framework?
Correct.
So when we prepare the budget, because it's a three-year cycle,
mm-hmm.
so it will start in 2021, because it's the 2021 mm-hmm. will be the operational year, and then the outer year will be a baseline where we are planning our processes. So in that case, then it means that we have to prepare accordingly. So this fiscal consideration or the fiscal contribution that each of the government department had to make contributed to these fiscal challenges that we have had up to this period that we're reporting under review of 2024-25.
Then my question is, did then Gauteng have unspent conditional grants 2021, 2023, 2020? We're now at 2024. We know what those numbers look like. Was there some unspent grant, conditional grants on your side from 2021, particularly with this fiscal framework?
There were, to be exact, there were some of those conditional grants that were not spent. But if we look at the performance that we have had in the previous financial year, mainly around those conditional grants, we fully spent the conditional grants with the exception that there were some commitments that we made in the 2024-25 that we requested Treasury to consider as a rollover for the 2025-26 financial year. So if you look at our overall 14 billion of the conditional grants that we allocated in 2024-25, we spent 98% of that. So the 2% of that was part of the rollover that we applied for into the new financial year of 2025-26 financial year.
And how much is that 2%?
So here we are talking about 367 million overall that we applied for as part of the rollovers. But I must also indicate that of that 367 total, we did apply for 266 million of the conditional grant, and then 101 million was part of what we call the equitable share. This is the allocation that mm-hmm. has been allocated through the provincial process.
So why wasn't 100% spent if there's a cash flow problem?
Okay. Hence, I'm making the statement to say, one, remember each and every year you'll make some commitment. Mm-hmm. So as part of the financial year processes,
mm-hmm.
the year or you have made a commitment that unlikely for the reason that you're receiving an invoice just towards the end of the financial year, you won't be able to pay it just before the end of that financial year. So what you will do, because it's an invoice that has been committed, you need to apply for it as a rollover. So those are some of the qualifying criteria for you to apply for a rollover. So it means there was a commitment made, but you couldn't spend that money during that financial year.
One of the things that has come up is that you have, for instance, 171 million of this year's unspent money, 0.5%, being compensation of employees. In other words, it's either salaries or money that was meant to be going to new posts. Whether the posts have been filled or not, I'm not sure. You'll have to tell me. What's the status there? Is it because the posts were not filled, or is it because these are outstanding salaries that are yet to be paid?
So there is quite a number of issues that relates to that. One is the issue relating to the attrition within the department. So as and when any person, either for one reason, get an opportunity to be promoted in a different department, so that post will not have been filled at the time. So there are other reasons beyond that. Either a person goes on retirement. So, but further than that, we have had a circular that talked to the department, you know, to extend increasing the value of the compensation of employees. So we had to put some measures as well to ensure that we don't overcommit in terms of the allocation that was allocated to us, because immediately we do so, that will result in an irregular expenditure in terms of the PFNA definitions.
Why would it be irregular?
Because we would have committed the department in terms of the appointing more staff other than what has been allocated to the department.
But why is that? Why does that moratorium exist if there's money?
So you know, hence I'm making an example, Tamila, to say there would have been other reasons. One of those reasons that I have expressed is the issue around the attrition, because as and when either a person either resides within the department or retires within the department, so that man at that time wouldn't have filled that post. So that also contributes to some of the reasons why we would have such understanding within compensation of employees.
No, and I get that. I'm speaking specifically to why there has been a specific directive not to take on board new staff if the money exists.
So as I'm saying, I'm putting that picture to say it does not necessarily mean that the underspending relates to only the moratorium.
Yes, and I appreciate that, but I'm speaking specifically to the moratorium. Why does even come about? Because we understand that there's a movement, obviously, of staff either moving into a new post, either they're all of that you've explained. We understand that, but specifically, why is there a moratorium on appointing new staff?
It was more to do mainly with the possible overcommitment that was likely at the time as part of the projections that were made, that we shouldn't overcommit the department to an extent that it will result in an overspending within the department.
Here's the crisis we have as ordinary South Africans. You have about 367 million that you're requesting to roll over, right?
That's correct.
And we are trying to understand, with that kind of money, you could not have allocated new posts to a department that forever tells us there's a crisis. In fact, you don't even have to tell us. Nurses tell us, doctors tell us that they are understaffed. You know, I don't have to tell you those difficulties. And while I appreciate this is only 2%, I'm looking at the number, 367 million. And you're telling me you are just being cautious that maybe you are not, you know, you may have overspent. But here we are. You're applying to Treasury for that money to be rolled over.
Yes, let me give a context, Pinello. So the money that we have applied for as a rollover, they were conditional grants amounting to
266
million.
Yes. I get
so
that.
Yes, it's important to also indicate that the conditional grant in their nature are for intended purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So as and when these grants are for intended purpose, you cannot utilize those funds for any other thing else except for its intended purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the bulk of that rollover and commitments that were made.
Okay, so let's stay there. What was the purpose of the money that was left over, this conditional grant then? Maybe because we don't have those details, we are struggling to understand. Primarily, what were these grants meant for?
Okay. So in Southern Health, the one that we have applied for as part of the rollover, we have what is called a National Tertiary Service Grant.
Mm-hmm.
So this grant is mainly, just in summary, intended for the tertiary services within the Gauteng Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
But it also extended to service other neighboring provinces, so Limpopo, Mpumalanga, as well as Northwest.
Wait a minute. Help me understand. you're saying this would have been for tertiary services, ne? So in other words, possibly Charlotte Makleke.
Charlotte Makleke is our central, we call them central hospitals. Mm-hmm. This is Chris Hani Barra, Steve Biko Academic, including Dr. George Mukari. Those are our central. And our tertiary hospitals will be Kalafong, and Biza as well as Helen Joseph. So these facilities, because of the high-end service that is being provided, they receive this grant for that people.
Okay.
So because other provinces do not have the high value of allocation that is made to them to provide this service, they will send their patients to the province to access this service. So the reasons why we are allocated a huge value there, mainly because of we had to procure high value ticket items relating to machinery or medical and allied equipment. So the bulk of that, of the 367, 2,329 of that was more related to machinery and equipment that we had procured, but we could not have paid at the end of the financial year. So the other element related to the human...
So if we stay there, why weren't we paying for these equipments that are so essential, that you, as you just outlined, are critical to the kind of services that we are providing?
So it is not that we didn't pay. I'm saying we have committed to them. But at the end of the financial year, we have received an invoice but not ready to be paid. So we have received an invoice just at the close of the financial year. So that
I understand, but I'm asking, based on a part of what we discussed earlier, that you have also this challenge of paying within 30 days. And I understand the backlog, because the backlog doesn't necessarily mean this is a new problem. These are problems that stem from years ago, and I understand that. But I'm saying, to avoid this problem that we sit with now, why then do we not carry on and do what we are supposed to do and pay the invoices that you've made commitments to?
That's why I'm giving this scenario or a description. The invoices that we paid, like I've explained, the invoices that we paid within 21% category were more related to the critical services. So at that time, because we had already made a commitment, the ones that related to conditional grants were not part of that.
But I follow you. What I'm struggling with is that you're still not explaining why the payment is not done if the money is there. So on the one hand, there is the issue of cash flow that dates back to 2021 based on the framework, right? That's fine. But we're not sitting with a cash flow problem here. The money is here. And so why are we delaying to pay? Even though, yes, we may not pay within the 30 days, which I understand the backlog issue, but the money is here. So why is it going back? Why do we keep having the cycle of asking for extension and rollovers when the money is here?
So, okay, let me put this context, Pinelo. The money that we are referring to, of the 229 million or 329 million that we have applied as a rollover, relates to the high value ticket item. So the process of procuring such, it takes longer, hence the invoice that we have received took longer, at least up to the end of the financial year.
We
couldn't have utilized this money for anything else.
I understand
for
that.
Intended purposes.
I fully appreciate that. But what also happens in your department is that you budget prior to you getting the money. So in other words, before you get next year's money, you've already budgeted for it and you know what ticket items you're going to be sourcing and so on and procuring and so on. So if you are planning, you would know that your financial year end is going to come at a particular point. You need to source, you need to procure in the record time that you've requested the money to come in to do those payments. You have the money, but then you are not sitting with the money and paying with the money that's been allocated. Because remember, the money came in because you asked for it for that year.
I fully hear what you're saying, Pinelo.
So it's a planning thing is what I'm saying.
No, the planning says it's well and good within the department. But I'm indicating the process of this high-value ticket machine because they take a longer time before they could reach some interest, they could reach South Africa for interest because majority of our equipment are bought overseas. So the longer it takes for that process to be undertaken, hence then because we had a plan in terms of the beginning of the financial year. So what will have happened will be that the longer it takes for us to receive such machines, that's when we, at any given time, if ever that opportunity arises that we are aware that it will take longer, we will readjust our plan. But then in this case, plans were all in good, but then we receive the invoice later, just before the end of the financial year. Hence, I'm indicating the purpose of the grant was that we couldn't utilize this money for anything else except for its intended purpose.
What we want to know is whether there's an intention to improve on that. And this is what I'm basing this on. Gauteng Department is not starting from zero running a hospital. This is what you do. This is what you've always been doing. So that we need Operation Machine X is what you do. So I expect that you guys, when you plan, you know the process. You're explaining it to me. And I'm new to this if I walk into this today. But you guys have the experience and you know what the time frames are that you're working with. So in your planning, you know that this machine, because we usually take 20 months to get it will be 20 months. What I want to know is that, are we going to improve on our efficiency in making sure that this money doesn't go back?
Of course, Pamela. The intention within the department is to fully spend this budget. Hence, where we are in the previous cycle, we have spent 99.8% of our total budget. So that is the intention in every case, in case of what we're doing within the department. And we are planning to improve to ensure that we fully spent what has been allocated to the department.
I really, really appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to walk us through all of this so that all of us can be on the same page. Thank you very much for talking to us this evening. That's the Gauteng Health Acting Chief Financial Officer, Montswedi Botsane.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.